I play the violin because I haven't yet stopped playing. And I haven't yet stopped playing because at each developmental stage of my life, I was equipped with reasons, good or bad, that justified my continued involvement with the violin.
That was Dr. Erjin Kang, the youngest faculty member at the University of Arkansas Music Department, where she is a violin professor. Under the guidance of Mark Kaplan, Eric Friedman, Almeda Vamos and others at UCLA, Yale, and Northwestern, she has won top prizes in many prestigious competitions. She is currently serving as concertmaster of the Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra, Associate Concertmaster of the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, and Assistant Concertmaster of the Fort Smith Symphony. She explains why she plays the violin.
I was 5 years old when I started playing and learning. Violin was my vehicle for attention, as much as it was an expensive form of babysitting for my parents. In the beginning, I think I was delighted to have a toy that put me center stage, while my parents were equally delighted to have given me a toy that proved to be difficult enough to capture my deepest curiosities, confusion, and frustrations. As the violin became less and less of a toy and more of an artistic tool, I asked myself if I had the grit, the creativity, the vision, the talent, and the discipline to become a successful musician. And I suspected that I didn't really love the violin enough to endure the mounting hardships. But then again, I knew I couldn't leave it either. I didn't want the music making to stop. At the end of the day, I have a desperate need to make music. I'm not sure if this need is a debased version of love, a subset of love, something beyond love, or maybe even a compulsion completely independent of love. Playing for me enables, reinforces, liberates, and empowers. It makes beauty tangible. It becomes something raw from which I can create. And just as when I first started, I enjoy the nearly endless source of complexity and possibility for learning that the violin presents. I have a feeling that it will continue to incite this feeling in me for a lifetime.
Erjin Kang is a professional violinist whose dedication, talent, and hard work gave her the capacity to obtain an outstanding violin technique. Later on, she demonstrates some of the basic sound factors that contribute to sound production on the violin. But first, she's reminiscing her childhood days.
I was born in Seoul, South Korea. My parents were both professors. My father divided his time between working as an architect and teaching architecture. My mother taught German. In the early 80s, my father was granted a four-year Fulbright, which allowed him to study environmental psychology at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. It was in Milwaukee that I hold my most vivid childhood memories of starting the violin. After 4 years had passed, it was time to return to Seoul. Life became decidedly more stressful as I had to attend school 6 days a week, relearn Korean, and adjust to a different culture. We stayed in Seoul for a few more years to fulfill the final portion of the Fulbright program's cultural exchange. Soon after, we found ourselves traveling again back to America. Los Angeles's weather, of course, confused me. How could there not be any snow in December? I found myself adjusting yet again to a culture and way of life I thought I never left. I studied and listened intently to the ways my teacher and friends pronounced words. I wanted to sound like everyone else. After about a year, I not only noticed that my Korean accent had completely disappeared, I also realized that I stopped speaking Korean in my dreams. English felt more or less natural within a year's time. The great thing about violin, of course, is that it transcends language. Musical notation stays the same whether violin is taught in Korea or in the U.S.
Music is a universal language that goes beyond boundaries and bond people even thousands of miles apart. This indisputable element of music is the one that enabled another violinist, Professor Miho Oda Sakon, to surpass the language barrier and start teaching the violin again.
I moved to Fayetteville. It's my first place of America 3.5 years ago because of my marriage. My husband teaches biochemistry at University of Arkansas. Actually, I have no choice to move to Fayetteville. But I like here because our environment is very similar to my hometown. At the time, I could not speak English much, but I wanted to do something. Playing the music is kind of my second language. So I tried to find something to play the violin or to have a communication through music. And on campus, I found a Suzuki Music School.
Miho Oda-Sakon is currently serving as principal second violin of the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas and as an artist in residence at the Suzuki Music School. She grew up in Japan, where she studied violin performance at the Tokyo College of Music. She has performed extensively as a soloist and orchestral player and organized many benefit concerts in Japan and Fayetteville.
I still remember why I chose the violin. I just didn't want to choose the same instruments which my parents played. However, I don't remember when, where I learned the word violin. When I was 4 years old, my parents recommended me to learn playing musical instruments. Frankly, my parents are musicians. My father was principal of junior high school and now he teaches child education at university and his major was voice. My mother was pianist and still teaches some students. I suppose that they wanted to tell me that music gives me a wonderful, interesting, and precious opportunities. For example, playing beautiful music, meeting great musicians, making a lot of friends through music, and learning something important and special to live my life. I started learning the violin in Suzuki method in Japan. So Suzuki Music School is very familiar to me.
She remembers her first violin teacher, as well as the importance of teaching with love and respect, especially when we're dealing with children.
My first teacher was Suzuki method. And I was very lucky to meet him because he was always warm-hearted and kind and calm to me and also to everybody. First of all, I always tried to show how to play the violin, even small their violin. And even small violin can make a beautiful tone. And as playing with somebody or other instrument, make as a beautiful music. My favorite phrase from Dr. Suzuki, and also it is our policy when we teach as a children, where love is deep, much can be accomplished.
To hear more about Professor Miho Oda-Sakon and her violin teaching methods, visit the KUAF 91.3 website. Going back to Dr. Eugene Kang now, and some technical advices to play the violin from a violin expert that always shows the greatest aplomb when it comes to performing.
So basically, in the violin world, there are five factors that contribute to sound production on the violin. And in no particular order, the first one would be hair, bow hair, and the angle with which you play the strings. The second is sounding point. So within a given area, a violinist can play near the bridge, away from the bridge, in the middle, between the fingerboard and bridge, on the fingerboard, near the fingerboard. There's actually a lot of space. And the closer you get to the bridge, basically, not only are you able to create a larger sound, but it also creates, again, a fuller, more substantial sound. So sometimes you want that full, substantial sound, and sometimes you want to creep in and you want to make smaller, more foggy types of sound. So you've got something that's sort of away from the bridge, atmospheric. And then you've got something that you may want to play at full force, you know. And you're sort of trying to play with a different sounding point to take advantage of the violin's full capacity. Of course, the other things that accompany the sounding point of the hair are the third and fourth aspect, which is pressure and speed. So that's also pretty instinctive and intuitive. The more pressure you apply, the heavier sound you'll get. The more force you put into the strings, the more it will activate it. The less pressure, the less sound you'll be able to produce from the instrument.
For more details, visit the KUAF 91.3 website to hear more of the two ladies talking about the violin. For Ozarks at Large, that was Sophie Keith-Kermanidy.